My name is Peyton Pruitt. My band is called Carver Commodore.
I'm Mackenzie Pruitt, but I go by Mackenzie Lockhart, my maiden name, and I'm a singer-songwriter. Solo.
Cool. Awesome. And I know y'all are both involved in doing music with your church as well, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how long have y'all been doing that? Is that something y'all do together?
Yeah, we do that. Honestly, we do that together way more than we do anything else. As far as music goes.
Yeah.
I've been playing in church since I was like 16, I think.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
15 or 16.
Yeah. Maybe. But at our church specifically since like 2015.
That's awesome. So are y'all like the leaders of the music group? Or?
Yeah. My job title is worship leader, and then Mackenzie is as well.
Yeah.
She leads worship as well.
Not on staff.
Yeah.
Just because I like it.
Yeah.
So you can dip out when you got to.
Yeah.
And then I'm around if he has to.
Yeah.
Be gone too.
That's nice.
Our pastor's pretty cool. Lets us leave all the time. So
yeah, we both, even in church music, lead very differently. Like have different styles. And our pastor is always super kind and likes to have both and.
Yeah.
So when he's gone, it's usually an acoustic set. And when he's in town, we do like full band.
Nice.
Loud.
So that's cool. I had a couple of things that I wanted to ask you about, but usually I just kind of do like an open-ended conversation and we just kind of touch all the bases. But one of the questions I did want to know, which I was going to wait, but may as well jump right in since we started talking about it.
Yeah.
Does I'm trying to remember how I was thinking about it earlier, but basically does the music that you do not in the church, is it influenced by like growing up in the church or doing music for the church? Like, is there any bleed over between the two? Or are they kind of like separate things?
I think for me, they definitely overlap.
There's just a lot of overlap.
My songwriting is super personal, and this day and age, it's a really weird time to be someone that's still a person of faith, especially at like our age. And living in the South, it's just weird. Still holding on strong. So they're. I think faith is just such a huge part of who I am, and I think because my songwriting is so personal, it definitely, like, there's definitely overlap for me.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton is a little less just because his work is a different creative tool for him, less personal every time.
Yeah, I think it used to bleed over a little more for me, but...
I mean, do you even think about it that way? Or, like, do you compartmentalize it? Or is it just, like, not... Yeah, do you not think about it like that?
I don't think about it intentionally like that. If I want to write a song about God, I write a song about God. Uh-huh. But also do think about it in kind of different parts of my life, too. Because I'm, like, leading worship and stuff for me because I'm not, like, a pastor. And I don't feel like I'm supposed to be a pastor or anything. It's like my job and the way that I can serve my church, but playing music and like writing music, being in a band or whatever is what I want to do with my life, like as far as career goes. So I guess I do compartmentalize it in a way, but I don't know, over the last few years I've written less and less about my faith, like as far as songs go, and my faith hasn't really changed as far as like my dedication to it or anything, but it's just kind of, I don't write about it as much as I used to. I don't really know why, but
you have a wife to complain about.
Yeah. The last album that we released was a lot about her and about, you know, our relationship and stuff, but then new stuff that I've been writing is not, so I don't know, I just write about a lot of different stuff. Mm-hmm. And I tend to, like she was saying, not put myself as much in the writing as just like I can make up another character that,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah,
there's always awesome. Going to be some of me in it, but there's, you know, I can try to write from a different perspective or something.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I'm sure as you mature, you want to like try different things, or you've already done that, you know, or explore new territory.
Yeah, for sure.
That's cool. So did y'all grow up, did you play music, did you learn music by playing at church, or was that part of your life growing up? Like, what's your origin story, just as a person and around music?
Yeah, so I definitely didn't. I grew up, until I was like 12, my family on my dad's side is all Church of Christ, so we went to Church of Christ, and there's no music being played there, you know?
But there's a lot of music.
Right. There's a lot of music outside of it, which is cool, so...
All the best musicians, I think, here, like, have a connection to the Church of Christ. Man, it's really odd.
It is.
Well, you learn to sing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You learn the notes. Like, yeah. You think you learn to read music.
I was a kid, so I don't think I picked up too much on that, but I think it did kind of affect me a little bit. Like, I still love hearing that being sung that way, you know?
Totally.
But, I just started playing music on my own. My dad loved music and always played it, like, on the radio and CDs and vinyl and stuff. But he kind of picked up guitar when I was 10 or so, started learning a couple of chords and taught me a couple of them. And then I kind of fell out of interest for a while. And then when I was 12, I met a friend in junior high who played it, and we just kind of... It wasn't like a competition, but it kind of felt like a competition. Like, who can learn more AC/DC songs? You know? So that's
awesome.
That's kind of how it started for me.
And you grew up in Colbert County?
Yeah.
On the mountains?
In Tuscumbia, yeah.
In Tuscumbia?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah. Out in the country, for sure.
Nice. So,
yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Only child. So I guess I got a lot of attention as far as, like, music and stuff. Just like, here you go. Throw this on you and... I don't know. I didn't have that many friends living around me and stuff, so I was with my parents a lot, so I think that kind of bled into me a good bit as far as, like, what I was interested in.
I think that's... can be a huge asset.
Yeah, it's good, for sure.
Or
but then sometimes I'm jealous of people that have, like, she has siblings and stuff. I'm like, man, what would that even be like?
Right.
Yeah. Sing together.
That's why I love being around friends all the time now, I guess, too. I had so much of not being around people when I was a kid.
So what about you, Mackenzie?
I definitely grew up in church, but was a very shy child.
Did you grow up here?
Yeah, I grew up in Muscle Shoals. I was born in Gadsden, but all the life that I know was in Muscle Shoals.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents are awesome, super supportive, and always have been. But I grew up playing sports when I was a kid, and thought, like, I'm going to go to college and play basketball. Maybe go in the WNBA. It was, like, so shocking for people that didn't know me when I was a kid. But for whatever reason, and the spiritual side of me feels like there is a spiritual aspect to it. It's just so random that I even wanted to play guitar. I couldn't tell you why I wanted a guitar. But when I was, like, 12, I asked my parents for one for Christmas or my birthday or something. And got my first guitar and just started playing 90s country songs because that's what I grew up listening to. And my parents were super into, like, CCM Christian stuff, but my brother and I loved, like, strong female country of the 90s, which is, like, when it was just pop country pretty much.
Oh yeah.
But before it's the pop country of today, which is not what I'm into. But, like, Shania Twain, Faith Hill, Jody Messina, all those people is what I grew up listening to. So, like, my very first talent show, I think I played Write This Down by George Strait, and it was terrifying. But
how'd it go?
It was fine, I guess. It was terrifying to me. I don't know. I don't think there were winners or losers.
Oh, okay. So it's nice.
I think we just performed at my school. But when I, like, got fairly proficient, I'm self-taught for the most part, and just play by ear and know, like, chords and stuff, but when I got fairly proficient, I definitely got thrown into, like, lead worship for the youth group or whatever,
mm-hmm.
which there are good things and bad things about that. And I grew up in a Baptist, like, Baptist churches, but thankfully I was, like, very valued as a female, for the most part, in, like, all my experiences in Baptist churches. Always had the opportunity to lead with music and stuff, which is super formative to just, like, have the opportunity to play at all. And then there were definitely, like, Malcolm Singleton, who still plays in town some, and Shane Baker both would, like, as a teenager, would be like, come to my show and you can play a song. And just people like that being willing to take a risk and be like, here, teenager, play a song you wrote or whatever. So
that's neat. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're awesome.
This dude, Max Russell, used to do the same thing to me. He's or for me.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Pretty cool. Let me sit in with him, and he would have, like, songwriter nights where I would go play my crappy 17-year-old songs, you know? Yeah.
And we ran into Tim Stevenson the other day. Do you know Tim?
Mm-hmm.
So, my brother and I think Aaron had, maybe was a senior in high school. My brother's 3 years older than me and is an artist, visual artist. He's crazy talented. And for him, Tim's studio, when it was on Court Street, was just like a refuge of sorts. And so my brother introduced me to Tim, and he would have nights where you'd just come share, like, work. And so he started letting me play in this kind of in-the-round environment with other types of artists. So that was really cool as, like, a teenager to be, you know, in a room with creative people. I sometimes don't even super consider myself very creative, but because I love my 9-to-5 and being home and not working really hard at music.
So. You should consider yourself creative.
Yeah, I mean, I think I think it comes and goes for everybody. Yeah. I'm sure you are. Okay, so how did you guys get together, or did y'all meet through playing music? Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, we grew up 10 minutes from each other, but we didn't know each other until post high school.
Mm-hmm. I think we may have met one time.
We had met several times.
Yeah, we had met a few times, but I remember meeting McKenzie one time outside of Rivertown in, like, my senior year of high school, probably like 2010, something like that.
Would have been just a year out.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that was, like, one of the first times we met.
Nice.
I was in a band, a rock band called Dagger City, that was, like, this horrible glam rock band.
I think I remember seeing
that. Oh, I'm sure. We're the reason that Rivertown doesn't have shows anymore.
So no, that's pretty infamous.
Welcome, everybody. Yeah, it's pretty horrible.
Yeah.
But
I think we had just played a show at Rivertown.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it was. Then we met, weirdly, in Atlanta at this big church conference thing.
Yeah.
We, like,
tens of thousands of people.
Yeah, they're like 80,000 people there or something.
Oh, my gosh.
And then they would break off into groups and all this stuff.
So
and we ended up in the same
group. Of, like, 1,500.
Yeah, and then they break you off. And there's a group of, like, 15. And then we were, like, sitting right beside each other. Something. Don't we know each other somehow? And you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
But we both played music in our churches.
Yeah.
And so I found out he played every stringed instrument known to man. And so we did, like, this kind of trio acoustic, like, worship leading thing. Some friends that I graduated with and I. And we would just play at, like, local ministries. It wasn't a thing we, like, traveled and did or anything. And so I asked him to come play banjo with us. And that's when we, like, really started getting to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's cool.
Yeah.
Yep. And then we dated, and McKenzie took forever to hop on board.
Yep.
And then we got married.
That's awesome. So I know at some point, I don't know if y'all are married or not, I mean, maybe you were.
Yeah.
Y'all started, like, hosting a lot of shows at
house
your
shows.
House. Like, what's
right before we were married and probably first year of marriage.
Yeah.
So was that just out of necessity, or is that something that y'all were really passionate about, like, hosting?
We lived in Nashville for, I lived there for 10 months, and he was there even less, and I hated it.
Yeah.
Nothing, terrible to say about Nashville, necessarily. It just was not for us. Yeah. We just didn't connect there. But while we were there, I went to this thing called The Local Show, which was songwriters in the round in a coffee shop. And it was, the most home-like environment to hear people just sharing stories and songs that weren't super famous. And then there was this thing called Cause a Scene. And they came through and did a show at 116 a while ago.
Yeah, one time.
And we would go to those shows. I volunteered at a couple of those. And at the time, I don't think 116 was even a thing. Or maybe it was
new. I think it was around, yeah.
We had friends in Nashville that, didn't have places to play. I was playing house shows, and I loved it. So we were like, let's just do this once a month. Put a name on it. Be intentional about promoting shows so people show up. And we would have shows with, 10 people, and then we'd have shows with, 60.
Yeah.
Where there are people on the porch. We had to open the windows so they can listen. And,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was really fun. We ended up, it just, is a lot.
Yeah, it's just a lot of work.
That a thing of the past?
We still do it occasionally. I'll still host friends occasionally when they ask, when they need to fill a date.
Here? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice.
Also, our house was bigger then, so it was easier. Mm-hmm. But we'd still do outside shows every now and then.
And before we moved anyone into the basement, I played down here with a friend of mine.
Cool.
We've hosted a couple up here, but...
So what's, the result of that? Did you see anything grow out of, y'all being hosts or organizing that?
I think you just gain grace for other people that do it to know that, we cared so much about how the turnout was and how much money they made. And as an artist that loves doing house shows, you can't care a ton about money if you're playing a bunch of house shows. So just this grace on both sides of it, of even if six people show up, they probably tried really hard, you know?
Yeah.
Because we always did, and it was kind of an unpredictable thing. And just being willing to be a host when people need to stop on a tour, because even if you're not making a lot of money or a ton of people don't show up, we're always I'd rather play than not, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially when you... For us, we have some sort of day job, you know, that you're taking off to go do. So it's always better to play than to not.
Yeah.
And it was cool, too, to, be introduced to new music that way. And to, you know, to be able to introduce other people here to musicians that we liked or whatever. That was a big part of it for me. It's
there are people that played at our house that still stop through on their tours.
Mm-hmm. Even,
they started playing at 116 after they played our house, and then I have some friends that played at our house that are playing Singing River soon. So
that's awesome.
Yeah,
it was cool.
So what's it like being a musician at this stage, at your age, is with the history of music here? I guess it's kind of weird because it seems like most of the music here is the recording legacy, mm-hmm. and not so much a performing legacy of musicians that are from here or grew up here or live here or whatever. But does that like what's that like, and does that I don't know, factor into anything for you, or or just being around those people, or you know?
That's, I mean, it's all awesome to be able to live somewhere where a legacy like that exists, because we both grew up hearing about it. I mean, all the time. My dad was super interested in it. She was in Muscle Shoals all the time, so she was hearing about it all the time. But now, you know, growing up, we always heard about shows that were happening with the Swampers and with the rest of the Legacy folks. And it's still happening, even though some of them are gone. That continues to happen. And sometimes it feels like it's not doing much more than that, especially with the lack of venues and stuff now, in Florence specifically. But also in Florence specifically, we have people, I mean, like Single Lock and 116, what they did for the local scene, and all the other bands and musicians that are here. So it's a little more encouraging on this side of the river as far as music goes.
Yeah.
But sometimes it just still feels like it's a legacy thing, and I know there's so much more potential than that, you know.
Do you think
there's a future to it?
It's an asset or more of a liability to you? Is it something that you have to, like,
also
hurdle?
I'm terrified of sounding super negative on this.
No.
No, you don't have to worry about that. No. I'm not going to throw you under the bus.
Yeah. There is a reason why we choose to live here.
Yeah, for sure. It's not. I think it is an asset, for sure, because without that, there would be no, like, there probably wouldn't be that much attention for a town like this, you know?
Do you think any of that attention benefits you?
Yeah.
Oh, I definitely think it does.
Yeah.
To say you're from Muscle Shoals.
Yeah.
For people who know what it means.
Yeah. Or from, like, presently from Florence, I think.
Yeah.
To some people. Maybe mm-hmm. less than Muscle Shoals. But,
yeah.
like, we both are proudly, like, we're from Florence, Alabama, you know, instead of pulling the Muscle Shoals card all the time.
Yeah.
It's important for us to let people know that that's where we're from, and
we
that's the community that we create in and live in, choose to live here. We're not just, like, stuck here or whatever, you know?
Yeah, so legacy aside, like, what's it like to live here? Like, do you think that influences the way you write music or the way you are able to, like, exist as a musician?
Yeah.
For sure. Andy Baxter asked, we met when I moved back from Nashville, which we had gone to one of their shows. We didn't know them personally, he and Kyle, but we'd gone to one of their shows, and they were like, we're going to move to Florence and make a record. And we cried, and we're like, we're going to go back home. We hate it here. And it was just encouraging.
Oh, you mean y'all met in Nashville or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We saw their show. We just
yeah.
met as fans. And they, like, said they were moving here or whatever. And we were shocked. And then, like, people are still doing stuff there, like, we can do that. And so he asked me when I moved back, like, what's the biggest difference, and I was like, I feel like I've added hours back to my day. Like, people, the, like, pace of life thing is so cliche, and I think people who live in places like New York City and stuff would laugh that I think Nashville is, like, super fast paced town.
Yeah.
But compared to here, it's wild. And, you know, the cost of living there, like, I was working a full-time job and a job that I didn't enjoy, so I'd come home exhausted, didn't have opportunities to play, like, in places that were gonna get me anywhere. Like, I played some songwriter rounds when I lived there, but here we have, like, a life outside of music. Like, we have friends over every week, and we cook for them, and, like, obviously our church community is super important to us. We have, like, a place that feels like home to come back to, partially because we grew up here. Our families are still close. But the location of Florence is also really great for touring.
Yeah.
Because you're close to a ton of major cities, and routing, at least in the southeast, is just really easy.
Yeah.
So it's just, like, good for our souls.
Yeah.
It's good for my soul, my quiet, like, homebody self, to have a life here. But on the flip side of that, it's, like, super strategic and economical to
yeah.
be
there
an
are,
artist.
There are,
yeah, that's,
like,
awesome.
There are definitely two sides of it. To where,
yeah.
like, you have the literal side, or whatever you want to call it, of, like, it's cheap to live here, we can have part-time jobs,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, five different random jobs,
yeah.
and still afford to, like, own a house and all that stuff, and, like, like she's saying, we can have time to create, we can, you know, put effort towards that instead of putting all of our effort towards paying our bills. But also, like, the community aspect of this town specifically, like, everybody just seems to support each other more than a place like Nashville, which is not... Now we have a lot of friends there that are doing stuff, and we found our own community up there as well, like, when we are there, yeah, of people that are the same way. Like, they're all supportive of each other. They're all making, you know, great stuff, and they're all doing it however, whatever they need to do it, you know. But here, it's like, nobody's expecting you to give them anything or to, like, be able to get anything out of you when they come up and have a conversation with you, you know?
Mm.
So I think that's the big difference for me, as opposed to, like, Nashville or any other place where networking is a huge thing, you know?
I don't love networking. I'm very good at it.
I get that it's essential.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's exhausting.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about Carver Commodore. Like, what are y'all doing? Where do you see it going? Where are y'all getting traction and stuff like that?
Yeah. So we started back in 2017 or so. And since then, like, last year, 2019, was probably our best year as far as, like, far as the band goes. Like, we became like a 4-member band. Everybody kind of joined in and was like, I'm in, you know. That,
like,
was
fully
big,
committed.
Yeah, that was a big win for me, because before that it was just me for the most part doing everything. So last year was the first time that we all committed to it. We got management, we got, like, a team kind of built around us. We all, like, kind of started sharing roles a lot more than we had before, which I appreciate a ton. And then we released our record in October of last year, and you know, that's one good thing about being a musician today, is, like, it's good and bad. It's like streaming and stuff just gets your music out there more than you ever could before, but you don't make that much money from it. So we toured a lot last year, and then we you know, met a lot of people and hopefully made more fans and stuff. So we've been getting good response to that record and to those songs that we released, and it's been really fun so far. Now that we've released it, it kind of feels weird of, like, you know, it's all this build up to release this thing that you've made and you've put 1 or 2 years of work into, and then because of the world that we live in, it just goes out there and it just becomes one of the million things that are released on any specific day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's discouraging, but it's also encouraging that the small group of people that we would call our fans are connecting with it and finding it in any way, you know? So there's two sides to any story, I guess, but that's
how I think about it. It's harder to make money off of the actual music, but yeah, like, but you do gain more potential of a fan base, I guess. So how does that work as trying to, like, you said you want to make a living as a musician,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
How do you see that working?
Shows, merch sales, you know, all the stuff like that. Anything that's more physical, like, be there in person, wear it on you, listen to a physical record, whatever. That seems to be, like, the best thing for us as far as, like, making a living goes. And also, like,
last... Do you sell physical copies?
Yeah, yeah. And then last year and early this year, we've got on some sync opportunities, which is, like, TV shows, movies, and stuff. So that's helpful for musicians now as well. That's, like, a big way to make money, you know?
How did you get that opportunity?
That was through our management. They knew this, they had a relationship with the sync agency before they came on board with us. So just through their random connections, and then we got signed by that agency, and they basically pitch our stuff out to people all the time. And that specific thing was with a NBC show or ABC or something. So
what show was it on?
Station 19. It's like a Grey's Anatomy spinoff.
Nice. So,
just a random thing. Like, I didn't even know it existed. That's awesome. You know, it's there.
Did you see the episode?
Yeah, yeah. It's cool. It's on Hulu and stuff. So we watched it. And then same thing for, like, this video game that's coming out. We're going to have a song on some video game because of that. So
What video game?
It's called Steep 2. It's like a... open world winter sports game. So
fun.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, that's all. How do you feel about that?
I feel great about it. Yeah. I learned so much music growing up from games like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, just like video games like that that I would play. I would hear so much music that I love now, you know, that I wouldn't have heard probably without those games.
Totally. So, all I remember is the 8-bit stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Not as which much I music. Think is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. We're putting out an 8-bit version of one of our songs.
No so, way.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So, what about you, Mackenzie? Where do you see it going for you?
I am much more tied to safety and security myself. So I've like, music has been a bit of a roller coaster for me as far as like, I want it to be my job. I don't want it to be my job. So this year, like I had management, some friends of mine were managing me, which was super nice. And I just told them this year, like, I don't think I want it as much as you guys want it for me, so I'm just going to do it by myself, and I'll kind of do shows as the opportunities arise, and less of the quote-unquote hustle, I guess, of it, because I, for the first time, super enjoy my job. Cooking at Rivertown is the best job I've ever had. I feel like super accomplished at the end of the day, and then the creative side of things feels like I feel so much less pressure because I know like this other thing is paying for a life and my schedule is flexible, so even like I leave this Wednesday for like 4 days to go play some shows, but it's like I'm not stressed about making money or anything like that. Just like want to play my songs for people, and I want to make a record, so I'm fundraising for a record right now, but again, like I just want to make a record, so I'm not putting all this pressure on myself to like, I'm trying not to put all this pressure on myself to worry about. I think I'm more afraid of it going well than it being a flop, because things going well means I have to like
get out and do stuff.
Yeah, like chase it. So I don't really know. I'm trying to make a record and I'm still writing. I go up to Nashville occasionally and write with some friends and have shows booked for the next couple of months. But I just want to actually enjoy it. So
that's awesome.
I'm still doing it, just a little more leisurely, I guess.
I couldn't be any more opposite on that end. I want to get out and do it like as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And we've got a couple of tours coming up in March and April, and we haven't had anything since New Year's as far as like shows go. So I'm just excited to get back out and play again.
Nice. Do y'all ever collaborate or play with folks like locally, like or like record with other people, stuff like that?
Yeah, we play. We play shows with locals every now and then. We don't play locally too often, maybe like 4 or 5 times a year. But when we do, we always try to have at least one local on. And I don't really collaborate too often musically with locals. I wish I did. I should start doing that more often. More like with other, you know, art stuff. Like I do a little bit of graphic design stuff, so I'll collaborate with people doing that, or you know, for like designing, printing merch, sometimes we'll use heavy color like I was talking about, and we collaborate in those ways. But yeah, sadly I don't record or write with anybody locally too often. We use a lot of local people for stuff, like Chris Bethay mixes and masters everything, and we'll use a couple of local designers every now and then, or use photographers, videographers, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So
it seems like visuals are a pretty big part of what y'all do as a band.
Yeah, yeah. I love the visual aspect of it too. It's a,
is that just an extension of you and?
Yeah, it's a. I kind of have a vision for everything that we put out. Eventually, you know, it's sometimes I have to come up with it and work at it, but most of the stuff that we come up with, I kind of have it all fleshed out in my mind before I show it to the other guys or whatever, which is a blessing and a curse, I guess, because there could always be more collaboration.
Well, it always looks cool.
Thanks.
Awesome. So, why do you think there's not like a lot of venues here or something that's kind of sustainable? What's up with that?
I think it's hard to get people to pay more than $5 for a show around here. And I don't know why.
Is that everywhere or is that just here?
No, it's here, seems to be
for, like,
here.
Not.
I mean, it's a small town. I think it's that way in most small towns.
People are willing to pay that for the legacy folks.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, people pay $25 for a legacy artist. And I'm not expecting people to pay $25 to see either one of us.
Right. We just have bands we love that totally could play here and bring mm-hmm. in a crowd.
Yeah.
But it's tough.
Yeah, so in some ways I kind of am hoping while there is a lack of venues that that will change, because Singing River is hosting more people now.
And they do tickets.
They do tickets, and the price, I mean, it's more than $5 usually, which is a good thing in my opinion. There still needs to be like great $5 shows and house shows
and
stuff like
that. People are
hosting
house shows still, which
is
awesome.
It is also more and more people.
Like the Hermitage House or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't been to a show. I need to go to a show.
When did you play that?
I played off Edgewood.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Edgewood, yeah.
Yeah.
And they did a great job.
Yeah, so it's really cool to see people, you know, showing up and doing that kind of stuff. But man, I don't know.
I don't know what the answer is.
Is it just that it's a small town? Is it like that in all small towns? Because, I mean, you would know more than...
it's a weird...
It's like the wrong people have money. How it always feels.
I think, too, bands that we love tour in Birmingham and Nashville.
Yeah.
So this feels like a stop that they don't need because people here will travel to Birmingham or Nashville.
Yeah.
For shows. But there are mid-level bands, like, just, like, a little bit bigger than us. Those are the type of people we would bring to our house shows because they didn't have anywhere to play.
But they have, they could draw some people.
They drew people. Corey Kilgannon played a couple of times when we were doing house shows.
Yeah.
Then he played at 116. And then I got to go to Nashville and play with him at, like, City Winery.
Yeah.
Like, in their bar area. And he's still playing house shows, but he's, like, has opened, like, Penny and Sparrow's tour. And, you know, I think... there's opportunity for people like that. I wish that there were more songwriters performing here, which is what I miss since 116.
I wish there were more bands performing here. Yeah. So it's the same, you know, we both prefer different things, but I wish there were more people starting bands and playing together and, you know, wanting to play at some venue and starting up stuff, you know, some DIY shows.
So do y'all ever play together or, like, bounce stuff off of each other or anything like that?
Sometimes.
We definitely, like, bounce stuff off of each other.
Yeah.
But it's usually,
we don't play
like,
together
do you like
too
this?
Much. Yeah.
Does this suck?
Yeah. That's pretty much what it is.
Yeah, we don't play together a ton except for, like, local, like, community-oriented events. Like
yeah.
Rock
Christmas,
Reed,
shows,
Christmas shows,
stuff
and stuff
like that.
And weddings.
Yeah. We play weddings together. Yeah, which is good.
Yeah.
One, we get to be part of like our friends' weddings, and then even if we don't know the
just
people,
like acoustic,
good.
Or
yeah.
Awesome.
And then even if we don't know them, it's still cool to be part of people's weddings.
Yeah, it is.
But then it's helpful financially too.
Yeah,
totally.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I really wish the thing with venues here is like 116. I totally understand why they closed.
Yeah,
it's really hard to make money as a venue, especially one that doesn't like have food or whatever, right. That kind of stuff to keep you kind of afloat financially. So we just need somebody with money to open up a venue and be okay with losing a little bit, even if it's at the beginning, and then hopefully once the culture changes as far as like nobody wants to pay more than $5 for a show or whatever, then, you know, it could be more sustainable.
Yeah.
And there needs to be multiple places too, I feel like. Yeah, that's for a big sure. part of it. 'Cause like,
for sure.
You know, in any town, certain venues cater more to certain scenes, mm-hmm. which is fine, you know. Nobody needs to have a monopoly on something like that.
I've heard some rumblings.
Me too. I've heard Seven Points is maybe going to be a spot for a couple of those, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I think it'll be... I think if that happens, I think it'd be a really good thing.
Yeah,
I think it's the right... If what I'm hearing is correct, I think that would work.
Yeah.
I think they can pull it off.
Yeah, I agree. And Seven Points, man, I'm always more and more thankful to be living here, because it's mm-hmm. like...
Yeah.
Such a cool little creative part of the city.
It seems like a lot of... Like, I've been waiting for years for it to kind of, like, something to happen.
Yeah.
And it's happened. It's, right. like, all happening at once, it feels like. As far as, like, the turnover and a lot of the real estate and, like,
I'm so glad
new things happening. It's kind of shocking.
Yeah.
I hope it all kind of works out the right way.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think... Like, a lot of bigger cities have, like, neighborhood district, you know, business districts that are just, like, I don't know, the cool part of town where, I don't know, more, like, local scene things happen, and, you know, and I feel like that's kind of what Seven Points would be. It's just, I don't know, a little bit more, like...
Even, like, the evolution of the art crawl has been encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, I had to miss it last year, I was so bummed. It's, like, one of my favorite things every year.
Yep.
Yeah, I never really know. Like, I'm always stuck at my studio, and every year I'm like, next year I'm gonna walk around and hang out, and then I'm always like,
it's
way dark and it's almost over, and I'm like running around.
Me too. Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah,
it's terrible. But I hope everybody has fun.
Yeah,
I have fun.
That's probably how everybody involved feels. It's like,
I
wanted to see your stuff, but stuck in my place.
Yeah. There were a few people that, like, I worked really hard to get them to come to the art crawl, and I never even saw the exhibit.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, whatever. I hope they had fun.
Yeah.
But anyway, well, cool. Thanks.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
Yeah. I need to write down questions.